Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas. September 25th, 2018. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Appreciate it. Another
downhill.
We got
technical errors.
Chuck DiGuerrera messing things up here for us.
I'm so sorry.
Hosting along with myself tonight. We got a full house in here. We got Justin Griffiths. Here, how you doing,
Michael?
Nice seeing you. And then supposedly guest hosting, Mr. Rob Street. You're good.
Here, this goes over to Rob.
Appreciate it.
So, wait to see this.
Well, I don't know what's going on, so we'll find out. But tonight,
let's just say Facebook Live is blowing up right now. People tuning in to see this show. So.
Yeah, let's just say they are.
So we got Mr. Chuck DiGuerrera here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just here to – I got a little stuff I want to talk about and a little bit later on in the show, but I definitely want to discuss it.
That's what we're here for.
Let's start out. Let's start out positive with the late mile truck.
Oh, we're going to start and end positive. I guarantee it.
Let's start out positive with the late mile truck series. That was a hell of a race.
That was a good race. We got Dustin Ash rounding out his, 58th win out at the Bullring this past weekend. Great. First time in a truck, I guess. And of course, they build these trucks, and they race their own down in Tucson, and very beautiful-looking trucks they have there. So congrats and Bob Santa Maria in the 23 truck traveling up from Tucson. You know, thanks for coming up here and racing with us.
Dustin Ash did a good job of making that a race.
They both put on a hell of a show, you know, and of course – Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a milestone for him too, with in motorsports in general. I think he 500.
That's what Ken told us.
So congrats again to Dustin Ash, the Dustin Ash Motorsports guys, all them guys working hard to keep their trucks fast and beautiful. So thanks again for joining us. We got a couple more races coming up in the late model truck series. October 13th, we have a race down at the Speedway at Willow Springs. And Roseman near the road course. Of course, we also have one coming up November 10th at Havasu, at the Havasu 95 Speedway there. So make sure you check that out, and you can go to lmtstruck.com.
Yeah, Havasu is a Saturday night, right? Opening night this Saturday?
They might be. I don't know what their schedule is.
I think Havasu is a Saturday.
It might be. It's possible. So.
Yeah, we were talking about – I was actually thinking about taking my super stock car up there.
Hey, if you haven't been to Havasu, great track to go to not only to spectate, if you race, go check it out. Race at that track. It's a two-groove track.
Yeah.
It's such a nice track. The guys down there are more than welcoming down there. They just make sure you feel –
Yeah, we didn't get to race a lap this weekend. We ran the car out two nights in a row and didn't race a lap. So.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah, I didn't get to race one lap.
We'll find out the racing woes of the Chuck DiGuerrera here in a few. But also hosting tonight, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Cool.
It is confirmed it's this Saturday.
Sweet.
This Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
Havasu's opening night. Of course, they run a winter series there. If you're not familiar with the Havasu 95 Speedway, you can go to Havasu95Speedway.com and check out their schedule. It's their winter series there. So if you're done here at the Bullring and all that and want somewhere to race, go check out their rules. Maybe you can, what division you have, you might be able to tweak something to make it work down there.
Bill is the nicest guy. He will let you, he don't care what you bring down. If you show up down at Bill's racetrack, he will accommodate you one way or another. You know, I mean, that guy is the greatest promoter around.
And of course, he's talking about Bill Rizzone down there.
Yeah.
And of course, Greg Scheidecker with the Lucas Oil Series. They've worked together down there for a long time, and they've done a lot with that area, with the racing in general. And their family has also been around forever in the southern area racing. So Bill Rizzone and, of course, the Scheideckers. Very familiar to racing. And like you said, Chuck, very welcoming down there. They'll do everything they can to make sure you feel welcome.
Absolutely. That guy will go out of his way for you. I mean, he really will.
Yep. And not only that, the staff there, everybody there, same thing. It rubs off on everybody
down there. If you go to his racetrack and race, I'm going to tell these guys that run have these super stock cars now. If you want to go down there and run his racetrack, he runs the same tire as Lucas Oil Series mods do run. And those tires, he'll take all those tires those guys are throwing away.
Take off.
They're
good, right? They only have one or two races on them.
Some of them only have one. These guys got a lot of big budgets. And he'll actually give you those tires or sell them to you for like $5 a piece.
Right. They're takeoffs, but they got a lot of tread on them. They're not hard.
They're
still good tires. A lot of life left in them.
They're perfect.
Absolutely.
That's what I did last time I went down there. I just went down there and the guy says, here. Bill says, here. I said, I don't have your tires. He said, here, $5 each.
Right.
I just how many you want.
Right.
You've got a whole bar with
a
whole trailer full of them.
Good point.
So if you guys want to go ride your super stock car down there, your street stock or whatever,
keep in mind that the rules are a little bit different.
They are.
But they're pretty equalized. Exactly.
Bit.
Enough to make them equal. You got to do what you got to do. But you won't be disappointed if you go down there.
I took my car down. He didn't penalize me at all. He said, just run it. Okay.
Right. I mean, if you went two or three times, you start running away with it, there might be an issue. But if to get down there and just go race and have some fun.
He just wants cars.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. And then the spectator stand. Every race I go to down there, it's always packed. Man.
Always
they're always
packed.
They're always
every
a great
time.
Crowd down there.
Definitely.
So, Havasu95Speedway.com. Check it out. Also, I want to say tonight's show brought to you by Hear Clear. If you want some custom molded air. Buds. I guess you can call 725 area code 333-4327. That's Hear Clear. Ask for Cindy and she'll make sure you get a custom set. You guys wear earbuds and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Custom ones usually are really expensive, but they're not too bad. I don't know what they cost, but give her a call. I think you have a couple sets.
Yep. I'm having another set made, actually.
So. He can't have enough earbuds.
No.
He uses them for
I don't want to hear nobody.
Ear plugs.
I think I need some.
Yeah,
I've got like five of them in my trailer. Ethan's outgrown three of them. They go from little bitty to big over here.
Right.
Ethan's got plenty of plugs in his car.
Justin, we know why you need them.
Yeah. Baby crying.
There you go. So, Hear Clear, make sure you check it out, 725-333-4327. So, anyways, great racing this past weekend. I didn't get to watch a lot, so we'll kind of cycle through some. I know, Rob, you get a chance to kind of see most of the different divisions racing, don't you?
I saw all 10.
So, what'd they have? They had all 10 out there and then some. Thanks, Chuck.
Once I went out on track, I did not get off.
Right.
I did not get off at all.
So,
actually, that's when I came off, and it was pretty exciting off the track.
Did you run to get off?
I guarantee you, he did not run to get off.
I tell you what, if you send us a video of Rob running, we will give you something. I don't care what it is. We'll find something to give you.
I guarantee you he didn't run off the track
reason. If you have a video of Rob running, we will give you a gift certificate or something.
I never quite catch him like jumping out of the car with your arms in the air,
I understand why, believe me.
After the eighth race, I'm strolling.
After the walking down there.
The zoom. Why don't you just stay in one spot on the pit stand and just zoom in?
I was in two and everything happened in four. The week before, I was in three and four and everything happened in two. All the legends caught on fire in two, so I said, I'm going to try two. And then, sure enough, everything happened.
It happened in the other quarter. Figures.
I'm really surprised you got no pictures of that.
I had a man in front. It was like I had the little flag they put or that banner they put up in front of the start finish line, and then Anthony Mann. I got a good picture of Anthony Mann looking at it, because he was stuck in the middle of the track because he had broke down or something early in the race. So he was like directly in the middle of the track between catty corner from 2 to 4. So I got a pretty good picture of him, just sitting in his window, up over his roof.
I guess first off, let's give props. Do you know the winners of each division, the Bandoleros and all that? Can you pull it up or something like that? Let's make sure they get props for their winnings, the Bandos,
well,
the Legends.
Jimmy won the championship.
And Jimmy Parker Jr. Locked up his championship in the Superblades.
And then
Doug Hamm.
When's their championship thing? That's coming up.
Yeah,
it's coming up. But they locked it up at points.
Yeah.
So did Gresser because he's won all 11.
Yeah, but do they have to show up still, or can they miss the race?
No, they already locked.
Sometimes it's locked in, but they just have to start and get one lap.
They have to start. Like Cindy has to fit. Well, it's funny because it said in the article that Neil Reed wrote, was said that she just has to finish 12th. And I'm like, there's not 12. Didn't she lock it up? There's not 12 cars.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. There's only like, what, 6 to 8?
Well, that means they probably have to show up at least for the race.
Well, you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show up. You're going to show up. Well, I'll show up with 13 cars and we'll knock her out like the Bombers.
Oh, boy,
yeah,
good.
Come on.
Wow.
I already shots fired over here.
We're going there. We're just not going there yet. Okay.
Let me know when you are because I got something for it.
Okay.
we are going to go.
Okay, let me know.
We're
going to throw this in.
Rob got the popcorn ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch any of the races, so I'm going to hear about it first time tonight myself.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to hear about
it. But you know, I want to make sure we give the props. It's a great race. Of course, Tim at the track there, they do a great job at keeping the program going. As they have done in the last, few years here, along with the staff, they're a great job that they have going on. So I guess that's call-in number. But I don't know if we want to take call-ins tonight. I might keep it down to no call-ins.
You might get some anyway.
If there's enough feeds in here right now,
we'll just do the feeds.
We'll
go with the feeds. We won't do any call-ins because I don't want that interrupting tonight because I'm excited to find out what's been going on. Of course, you guys are probably talking about incidents in the Bomber division mostly. I mean, I know there were some accidents and stuff from other divisions.
There was an incident with Kaylee Barker.
Yeah, and
what happened?
Stupid.
What happened with that?
Was that during a practice session?
I didn't see it.
What Kaylee said as I talked to her is she was out there going full speed, and one of the cars, I guess it was D. Cable's car, but it was D. Cable's son, I guess, driving the car.
Yeah.
And he was out there scuffing his tires or something, and it was in the higher groove, and like 2 to 3.5. And she was on the bottom, and just as she went to go past, he went down, and she went right into the back of him. I don't know if there wasn't a spotter or something, you know.
Well, I talked to her dad in the men's room. There's nothing else to do in there.
There's an etiquette rule.
I was washing my hands. We were done with that. Okay, we were washing my hands, and he said that.
I hope Ron was washing his hands.
Yeah, he was too. Yeah. Yeah, we ain't talking then. Just face forward.
Staring at the brick.
Yeah, staring at a brick. There's a whole extra hole in the brick. But he had told me that the one car had actually turned down the racetrack while she was coming off of turn two, just past track entrance, and they made a left. And I guess she
coming on the track, right?
As the one car was coming on, she was at full throttle. She was at wide open throttle off of two.
And he
turned down the racetrack, and then basically she just monster trucked her car over the top
over
of the one car.
You know,
so he never even made a lap.
And that's a tough, because, you know, he's a new, obviously he must not be experienced driver.
I heard that he had no radio, no spotter. He just came on the racetrack.
Okay. And typically,
with
experienced drivers, then they'll know when they're coming onto that track to hug that wall, stay up high off that wall. And if he don't have the experience, and I don't know the situation, but if he doesn't have the experience, obviously he may have just dumped onto the track and not.
And made a left.
Yeah, and made a left, not thinking somebody might be there.
Going to the bottom to get out of the way.
Not staying up high.
And that's, you know, rather than stay up on the fence. Everybody knows you've got to stay up on the fence until you get up to speed.
Unfortunate for Kaylee and her team. I don't know how they finished during the main.
They got the car done.
I went over there. I got a couple of pictures of them working on the cars. They were working hard.
Wow.
And, they had the fight to get on there for green flag.
Right.
I know Jim and Jimmy Parker were over there.
Yeah.
They were over there bending and pulling.
I know bits and pieces everywhere that they were pulling off the car and putting on, you know, just.
You know, even though Jimmy Parker may have got locked in at his point, there's still a points battle up through fifth, sixth place, you know, up to get in the top five.
Well, Daddy Barker told me that they had not, the shock mount and the sway bar mount were bent all to hell, and they had put that, they welded that back in place the best they could and got it as close as they could make everything be. And you could tell when she was on track that the car wasn't right. Yeah. And, you know,
it was
no
close,
doubt
but
about
not.
It. But yeah, it was no
still
cigar.
Last.
Yeah, definitely, definitely close, but no cigar. You know, it was just, she was. She stayed up out of the way and she did her job, you know. I mean, she made her laps, got her points, and did her job. So that was all right.
Okay, cool. Do we have any results by chance?
I'll look for them.
Oh, thought that's what you're doing.
Nope.
I do know Johnny Cilantro did lock up
rookie
of the year.
No way.
He is rookie of the year for Johnny.
In the super stocks, of course, you might have a different opinion, but the exciting racer. Back in when he was racing that division, it's nice to see that young blood in those divisions and learning the ropes in, you know, in these super stock type divisions. That's where, unfortunately, where a lot of young guys like that are supposed to cut their teeth before they move up into super late models and things like that. So, but
I have no problem with Johnny.
No,
I race his daddy too.
I'm not saying that.
I got no problem with Johnny.
A lot of guys think he was aggressive, and you know, and it does show on the track sometimes. You know, hey, he's on there, he's racing real hard and all that, and that's what makes it exciting because it helps push other drivers into doing a little bit more also. So I'm glad to see him tie up, you know, to lock in the super late model rookie of the year. Congratulations, Johnny Cilantro. So
he finished sixth on Saturday night.
Nice, good finish.
And he didn't spin. I brought that up to him as we were leaving the track. He didn't spin once. Locked up rookie of the year and didn't spin once.
Cool. Super stocks, you guys are... We showed up.
We had a car there.
So what happened? I want to hear about that.
We had a little valve train problem. We couldn't figure out why it wouldn't run on Friday night. And we thought it was an ignition problem because we've not ever had a valve spring problem ever and
before.
we couldn't figure out why it wouldn't run, and it's just weird. So we took it back to the house, and Saturday myself and Masharang, I worked on his car a bit, and then we worked on my super stock car, changed the ignition system out in the car, put a new distributor in, and all the wiring, everything, bring it back out, and you had it figured out. Yeah, we thought for sure, because it was going to be Joseph's, my son's first time back in the car in over a year.
Wow.
And because I was in the first six races, and then Ethan was in it for the last four races.
Right.
And now Joe was going to finish the next two plus the Fall Classic. So he gets to get in the car, and he said it won't run. The car won't make any power. So
it's
we could
running flat.
Yeah,
basically.
it was basically running out. So he had turned around and we changed the ignition system. I stuck him back in the car Saturday. He goes out in P1 and comes back after two laps and says, nope, it ain't fit.
Not fit.
So,
that's frustrating, obviously.
Yeah,
the hard work you guys put in.
We already talked to Howard over Vegas machine, and we've already got tools to get, we're taking everything apart already. And we're going to order all the new valve springs for it. And,
cool.
You know, and to top it off, we're going to pick up 32 valve springs because I want to put 16 more in the other motor.
I guess they're exactly the same age. Right.
Both motors I have are exactly the same age. They're sister engines. They were both built at the same time. They're both done at the same time when James Wingard had the car.
Mm-hmm.
So both motors are almost 4.5, 5 years old.
Wow.
So those motors, those valve springs are probably an issue, and so we're going to go 32 of them instead of 16. So.
Well, you know, and that's something on those super stock motors. That on the legal super stock motors, they're a good, solid, you know, motor. Like you said, you haven't even thought about a valve spring issue or anything like that in the last few years at all, because they're. I think they're a good ratio. I don't know what the rules are now. They 10-1. Or
9.5 compression. Yeah, they're 10-1. We're 9.9, 9-1, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a good balance of you know, get the horsepower out of them. And plus, you guys are really twisting the RPMs up on those pretty decent.
Turning them not hard. We're usually running somewhere between probably 72 and 76, depending upon...
For that type of motor on
how much
on a pump gas, you know, that's...
We're not on pump gas,
oh,
man.
You guys aren't on
we
pump
got
gas?
Our,
Oh.
Hell no.
I didn't know that.
We got to buy that $10 gallon.
Are you serious?
I'm
sorry. I didn't know you had running the leaded 110, the VP 110.
We don't have any choice. They told us we have to. It's $10 a gallon.
Yep. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Yeah, you go ahead and bring that story issue up. That's going right out of that wallet. So.
Yeah, because really on a
it's $100 every time I go to the fuel guy.
That ratio of motor, you don't really need to run 110 octane leaded fuel. They'll run fine on 100 octane or even a super lit, you know, super
maybe
leaded
if you're
octane.
On the street.
If everybody was on the same fuel, it'd probably be okay.
Everybody is on that same fuel. If you're not buying that fuel, you're buying it somewhere else.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, it's that's a problem too, because I've never seen the Speedway ever go and verify that these guys are actually buying the fuel at the Speedway like they're supposed to.
See, I know back in the day, back in 2010, they did, because my brother got DQ'd. My brother finished dead last in the Superstock and got DQ'd for running pump fuel. He was like, "I'm dead last for a reason. Like, I
pump gas.
I'm here."
Yeah, and that's one thing I've been disappointed, because you have to put your car number in there when you go to the fuel guy.
Yeah.
You have to tell them, you have to show how many gallons you bought, what your car number is, and your name that the fuel is going to.
Right.
So you end up having to pay for this fuel, and nobody ever checks. I mean, I don't get it.
Do you think fuel was a issue with other competitors out there to be able to bring
well,
the cars
it,
out?
It used to be. There used
how many
to
gallons
be a deal?
Do you go through, if you don't mind me asking?
I'll go through about 10 to 15 gallons.
On a Friday, Saturday? Or just
a Friday, Saturday.
So weekend.
Yeah,
okay.
And only about 7 to 8 gallons in a main event, you know, okay. That kind of deal. But the thing, what used to be was, when we back in the day, I don't know how far back in the day it was, but it was, you know, 10 years ago, maybe or less, that we were out here. They used to take $1 for every gallon of fuel you bought at the racetrack and put that into the points fund.
Right.
So if you think about how many dollars per gallon of gasoline that is, that's a hell of a
that's
lot
a
of
nice
purse
point,
money.
Yeah, that's a nice
you
point.
Know, and now apparently they don't do any of that. It just all goes to the racetrack for their percentage of it, and the rest of it goes to the fuel guy, and nothing goes to the racers anymore for buying that fuel, although they're under obligation and contract to buy this fuel, and they have to be the one to sell it, and we have to be the one to buy it because we're obligated. But we don't get anything out of it anymore.
Right.
And that's a disappointment, because we should be able to put that money, that dollar for every gallon for every racer who's towards a point fund at the end of the year for a purse for us racing all year long.
I mean, you guys do get a points fund at the end of the year.
NASCAR.
It's a NASCAR point, not a local. You guys don't get a local points payout. It's a NASCAR points payout. Okay.
You get a trophy.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure.
And a big one.
Because they used to give, like you said, they did used to give a local points fund, and then the national would come in with their, you'd get, you know.
If they're giving away a points fund money,
dollars,
I haven't been racing in a few years, so I need to talk to my kid if they give
away. Dad, we've been getting big points.
We've been getting big old check. What? So I got to talk to my kid a little bit. So if they're giving away points fund money, I need to go talk to my son.
I'm just curious, you know. I didn't know how they did things nowadays. They used to race hop when they were hop.
I know the purses used to be pretty big. They used to be a pretty big purse out there.
Well, at least you used to pay back what you put in and all that. But I don't know.
I like to be able to get that dollar back to the racers, though. If you got to buy race fuel there and you're not buying it somewhere else, and you can show that you bought 300 gallons of fuel,
and
that should be $300 I get back.
And that should be pretty simple for them to track. Like you said, if they have
a record of it.
Your record of your
who
car
it,
number
who didn't buy
who
it.
Bought it.
And
exactly.
If you didn't buy fuel there, then you weren't doing what you're supposed to do anyway, and you ain't going to get no money.
And you shouldn't get any money.
You know,
back.
If you only bought $10 worth of gas, 10 gallons of gas there, you get $10.
Right.
So,
no, good valid point. Another one, I know you brought some issues up that you've seen from a different point of view, like at Pahrump Valley Speedway, which is a different, you know, different style track, different management type.
I only saw it at Pahrump, but they need an ambulance
safety.
There.
I know.
Their EMT.
But, you know, you brought up a good valid point, same thing. You know, you're only talking dollars. You know, you brought up the same issue there. Hey, if everybody paid $1 towards bringing a safety crew out there, and this is talking about Pahrump, not, you know, kind of getting off base a little bit, but a same concept, you know, hey, just $1, an extra dollar going towards
a safety person to be there.
A safety person to be there is not going to break the bank for each driver.
Any racer out there.
Exactly, and kind of going back to LVMS with the fuel, $1 back to you guys would make a difference, you know, even because you guys are putting in a dollar per
gallon.
It's
like getting an income tax check at the end of the year.
Exactly.
You know,
your own money, but you're getting,
you're getting it back. Like, yeah, so it is. You're getting your own money back. But, you know, speaking of Pahrump, with that safety thing, that mini stock car that burned, how long did that car burn for before somebody showed up with a water truck or something?
Who was there?
It looked like to me it burned for a while. Because
you guys actually was in your pits, had time to go from your pits, go to the track, and finish watching it burn.
Yeah, probably I would say a good 4 or 5 minutes.
So, and if it would have had a some fire extinguishers around track, that car could have possibly been saved.
I don't think they had enough fire extinguishers to put that fire
point.
Yeah.
But if they had more Rob Street
Racing decals
on there, those are fireproof.
Yes.
The Rob Street Racing.
I saw you something burnt, but I mean, that's my point. Is
right.
They need to be able to do something about the safety part of that racetrack.
Right.
It's great. It's a good racetrack. There's nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
But they do need to do something about the safety portion of it. They need to have someone there on the EMT side of it, and they need to have a fire company or somebody come along and put a fire extinguishers all around that racetrack, and at the end, and put their sign up someplace,
right.
You know, some where they're located, something,
yeah.
Free advertising, put your fire system out there, and then have at the end of the night, somebody collects them all and takes them with them so they don't get stolen or set aside or whatever, and that they're always a charged system. There needs to be 10 or 15 of them around the racetrack,
easily.
All the corners and the straightaways, in the infield. Even if a driver has to jump out in the middle of the infield and put his own fire out, at least he could put his own fire out. But the way it went down, it looked to me like that car was just sitting there melting.
Yeah, and you know, that's unfortunate that that happened. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it can be deadly.
It only takes
absolutely.
Once.
It only takes once. And if you don't know what we're talking about.
Got out. I mean, the video.
You're talking
I
about
saw.
A mini stock. This is what a couple races ago. Well, out
last
there.
Last race
out there. Look it up. I think it's out there on Facebook somewhere. But this mini stock didn't just catch on fire.
It
blew up on fire. So
yeah.
Look it up. It's a mini stock race. I think 14 or 15 year old driver.
You
guys said Brandon Jones.
Brandon Jones.
Look it up. It watch it for a little bit, and that thing does it. Just
we've shared it around, so
it's out
a lot
there,
of people
so,
that watch this.
And the dangerous situation, and of course, what Chuck's talking about is that there was a lot of fire extinguishers there. Anybody could have made their way to the track and grabbed a fire extinguisher, so you didn't have to have it on a safety.
Well,
truck
you don't want
everybody
in the pit area running across the track while
sure.
the track's still green and trying to put a fire out. You know, but
the safety guys can get there and they can easily grab. You know,
absolutely. Even that old tow truck out there.
Tow Mater.
I think Tow Mater could have got out there with a new fire extinguisher on his truck. You know,
right.
And help put that fire out. You know, even if he's got a pickup truck, there's no reason he can't carry 2 or 3 or 4 of those fire
extinguishers. Right. And he probably has something on his truck.
I'll bet you that thing's charged. Like a
it's a pump one.
Yeah. Like an air conditioning tank charged on it. Yeah, no.
One of those weed.
One of those ones you do weed with.
Well, actually, what happened was Chad took the water truck and doused that.
Yeah, he doused it with the water truck.
See, now, how long did it take to get the water truck
right.
there?
Oh, no. The water
right
truck
there.
Was 15 feet away from it.
Oh,
it was right
oh,
there.
It was just
yeah.
three.
And
that,
oh,
yeah.
Maybe
was
not
really
quite
close.
15,
so
but it wasn't
thing,
very
yeah.
far away.
Well, that was my point was that, you know, I mean, if everybody spent $1 and some fire system company went out there, fire and safety company went out there with their extinguishers and made it available to the racers out there and given them some free marketing, there's got to be somebody in Pahrump who does fire extinguisher systems. Somebody out there is running around with all them buildings and all them warehouses and everything else around
there. The businesses they have, they're required to have them,
it wouldn't cost anybody anything if you don't have it, and there's no reason for that, but
valid point.
You know, it's like if we're going to go there, we're going to go to this bomber event, you know, Tim Masarang gets into this accident with his car, and we had just made sure that he fit in his seat exactly on the money,
right,
and he got out of his car, and I asked him how he felt. That was the first thing I asked him to give a damn about his car.
Sure.
What we did to your seat, were you okay in your car after you got spun back the other direction?
Right.
Because, I mean, he turned down racetrack, and when the 17 hit him, it turned him back up to where his front end was pointed back to the grandstand. I mean, everybody can see that on the video. So he went from one direction to another direction instantaneously. And so I asked him, I didn't care about the car. How did what we did to your, he said he'd never even know he'd been in an accident.
That's good. That's what that's for. That's what a fitted seat. That's what the race seats are supposed to do.
He said he feel nothing. I mean, he said nothing.
Right.
Nothing. That was the safest.
About the ice
like
cream
I told
his
wife,
was...
I'm safer on that track than I am on the highway.
Yeah.
Home.
And so the next, so he spent the night at my house because we obviously had to spend some time working on that car, which is what I'm a little pissed about tonight.
Sure.
They had, we spent, I asked him the next morning when he got up, how you feel today? He said, I don't even know that I
that's
was ever
usually,
accident.
Like,
because,
that's a good point, because usually two or
so,
three days
so these
after,
track,
it,
yeah,
that's when it affects you.
Exactly. So. And he said he has no effect whatsoever from it. So, obviously, he was in the car very well, and we made the adjustment on his seat to where he could fit in the car better. But, you know, what I am pissed off about this particular bomber event.
Okay,
wait, no. We're not there yet. Let's get to the results.
Let's start with the skid plate cars. John Petsko won. Dennis Darrow finished second. That is Cindy Clark's boyfriend. With James Brazil, Cindy Clark finished fourth. We'll jump to the superstock.
Did anybody see that race by chance, the skid plate?
I saw it. It was one of the better
cool.
skid plate races.
Sweet. Okay.
There's a lot of cars out there, too.
Cool. Moving on.
Sam Jacks won the superstocks race, followed by Mason Sargent. I did get to watch that race. It was a very competitive race between those two.
Those two always competitive.
Matt Cunningham, Chad Maddows, Billy Paddock Jr., and our bomber own Jim Marlino was in that race.
Oh, cool. Good to see Chad back out there, too, right? He hasn't been out in a little while. So.
Well, he comes out every now and then.
Does he? Okay.
I think once he sold the car, he bought it right back, he's back out now. And Landon Gresser won the race and locked up the championship in the Bandolero Bandits. Diesel West jumped back in a Bandolero Outlaw this week. He won that race.
Wonder
that,
if that's
that for sale.
Wonder if that's tough going because he's running the junior late models. And
he's running super late.
Is he running the regular super late?
Yeah,
okay, super late. So how tough would that be to go into something like that? I don't know if you really could feel good and about the race. I don't know. Anyways.
It was for sale.
Advertising.
That
was
advertising.
We got Jason Irwin winning the U.S. Legend Cars 25-lap feature. Adam Simon won the bomber feature.
Cool.
Cameron Morga with Justin Johnson finishing second in the NASCAR Modified.
And good to see Justin Johnson back out here. He's been running the Lucas Oil Modified races. So it's good to see him here locally in a local race. Again, and doing well, by the way, in the Lucas Oil Modified. Very competitive division. If you haven't seen it before, check it out. Justin Johnson, I believe he was in second place in points. I don't know if he still is in the Lucas Oil Modified, but
he was doing well.
He always does really well.
But
Tyler Fabozzi wins the super late model race, but Jimmy Parker Jr. finishing second,
locked
up the Nevada State Championship and the local bowling championship.
Congratulations, Jimmy Parker.
Guest on the show before.
I told you so.
The show is archived. Gary called it.
So congrats, especially to have it locked in. What a good feeling to have it locked in because you can kind of relax a little bit and breathe, and the next race is just going out there and having some fun. So cool.
And then last but definitely not least, the late model truck series. We touched on it before. Dustin Ash winning his 58th at the bowling and his 500th motorsports win. And Bob Santa Maria finishes second, followed by our very own Gary Wyatt.
Sweet.
Finishing third.
Good to see that. Hopefully we got a lot of interest, obviously a lot of calls coming in wanting to rent these things and get involved and all that. So we're looking for that series to grow. So thanks, guys.
And it's grown between the two races, so that's always a plus.
Yeah, it's a long process, like anything else. Like,
You gotta
put them out there
you walk.
Yep, exactly. So cool.
I just want to say Wayne Morris Jr. said they had an ambulance back in 2005 and they saved his life out.
Yeah.
Corona.
Wayne Morris Jr.
Wayne
Morris Jr. had a stroke.
Yeah.
Was that out
in front?
Out in front.
Okay. I thought that was out here, but that was out in
front.
That was in front.
And to answer your question, Justin Johnson is second in points
in
the Lucas
Oil Modified. Okay. Cool. Of course, Wayne Morris Jr., no stranger to racing. Modified racer that I know him from here at LVMS, so I didn't realize he was doing some dirt stuff too.
Dirt stuff back 2005, before and after too.
Right.
Everybody's done something under.
Yeah, they go get dirty once in a while and back and forth.
Yeah.
So
cool. If the pump goes dry slick, I'd bring my stock car out there.
So I guess, you know, nothing. It's always exciting to watch races, but super late models. Kaylee got a car back on the track, but no race incidences. I guess the big talk of the night is the bomber race. I guess they had incidences during that bomber race. I didn't see any of it. There's all different opinions. I'm sure everybody's opinion's the right one.
Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one, right?
So
I also wanted to bring up that Wayne Morris Jr. just had his third defibrillator implanted, and he's doing well.
Yeah, cool.
So that's why we haven't
that's
seen him out of it.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I hadn't seen him out at the bull ring, and then I saw a picture of him. In the,
is it adjustable? So if he comes
well,
back in a race car, he
can adjust. I was looking at it, and I'm like, is that copper?
Right? It's a pump, the hand pump.
Yeah.
Like Tomator.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so what happened during this bomber race? Is normal race?
Look, I got one problem with the whole thing. Okay, the rest of the bomber program was a great program. It was good racing going on. I got one problem with the whole thing. There's a couple of teams out there that want to get in a pissing contest over a goddamn bomber race.
Right, and
okay?
Again, this
you're
is the bomber say it's the entertainment
Cup.
Division.
You're not
sure.
Talking about Infinity,
right.
Southwest Tour. You don't talk about any of that nonsense. Okay,
right.
We are talking about bombers, less than a super stock. Okay, just barely
well,
above a bando.
But you know, without taking away from any other teams, you know, a lot of these guys put a lot of hard work in these vehicles.
Yes,
you know?
We do.
Yes, and you're one of them, obviously.
Yes, we do.
A lot of hard work in them, sometimes
and
just as much as any other division.
And I'm telling you right now, there's absolutely one thing that these guys seem to be having a brain fade problem with. And that is, if you're going to be rivalry with someone and you're going to dump someone, usually someone else is going to get goddamn
you
infected
by
it.
Very valid point. Because a lot of times these guys, these teams, or one-on-one, they go at each other not thinking
and
about
it,
anybody
and it affects
else
everyone
in
else.
Front or behind them. Absolutely.
Exactly. And that's the problem that I have tonight. Is it took me 5 hours to straighten the frame on Tim Masarang's car. Five
and you're
hours.
Just one of probably many other cars that were collected.
Well, the 17 car.
Yeah.
He was blown
up.
He didn't have anything to do with it. I mean,
right.
Tim got Tim ended up coming down track because of Rucci getting put in the fence.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it was put in the fence.
Okay.
And Tim turned around down the racetrack, collects the 17 car because someone else wants to take somebody else out because you're going to win a gazillion million goddamn dollars racing a bomber car. Okay, you're not.
Right.
You're
and
spending more money fixing your cars and doing the work you got to do to them, and then it affects someone else out there that has nothing to do with your rivalry and who you're pissed off at and who you're
right.
going to outrun for a championship trophy that's going to be barely come to your waist. That's going to this racetrack's going to spend $50 on,
right.
okay, for you to get after racing all year long and not have any consideration for everyone else out there that's racing out there with you. If you want to do that, ask the racetrack to say, I want a grudge match race, the four of us. Then you guys can go out there and jack your shit up all you want to, okay, and not have an effect on somebody else. Go out there and whip each other's ass. Go out there on the racetrack and ask if you can punch it out in the center in the infield. Go out there and ask if you can derby your cars, because that's what you just did. You just derbied your car, but then you derbied other cars too,
right.
which is nonsense. Okay,
yeah,
and
I can't agree more with that.
If you want to go out there and do this, guys, and I got no problem with you guys doing it, do it on your own terms. Do it
yeah.
on your own time.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask the racetrack for a grudge match. Okay,
yeah,
winner take all.
Right there.
Then you can have whoever finishes across the finish line after the third lap, because apparently nobody's going to make it. Okay, you're the champ. Okay, that's what I got for you. Okay,
absolutely.
But you should not be on the racetrack dumping each other intentionally, and don't tell me it ain't, because I've been doing this since I was 16 and I'm 61 years old, and trust me, I have dumped my fair share on purpose race car drivers in my time. I have done it, and I'm going to admit that I've done it, okay, and I have wrecked many a car and involved other people, and realized now that I'm 61 years old and I'm a car owner that you don't need to do that shit. Think about that first, that you're not the only four cars on track.
Right.
And then that way You guys can go wreck each other. If you want to be the four cars on track, I'm going to look right at you if you're hopefully on my Facebook page. If you want to be the four cars on track, ask Tim Richter to have a grudge match with you four. The winner can have the championship. It's a bomber championship, not an infinity race. It's not a cup race. It's a goddamn bomber race that you're costing people money. It doesn't need to cost Tim Massarang $300 or $400 because you guys wanted to go out there and put something else up.
Right.
It's not necessary. And that's what I've got to say about it.
You know,
that's why I came here tonight.
Absolutely.
Quit doing it.
Valid point. It's a safety issue also. You're bringing in other people, like you said, other drivers. That's not fair to anybody else.
The 17 car had nothing to do with this. Tim Massarang had nothing to do with this. This had nothing to do with anybody else. Even if you got a fender bent out of it, you didn't have anything else to do with this. It was four cars involved. There was four individuals involved, and they involved people who don't have nothing to do with this. And it shouldn't shouldn't cost Tim or the 17 car or anybody else any money because you guys, unless you guys want to pay for
it. Now, do you think this is something that's been – where's the issue? Is it a – and I'm not trying to make fingers being pointed anywhere. Is this a track issue where maybe this has been building up and allowed? Or is this an incident that just happened to come up?
It's promoted as a contact race. I mean, bombers is a contact race. I mean, you're going to bump and rub. There's a lot of cars out there. I get it.
They're not promoting contact racing, but they're saying it is a bomber division.
It's a bomber division.
It's going to happen.
And they're going to hit.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But,
I get that.
But
I don't.
Well, exactly. You know,
the difference between me running into him on the side because we bumped into each other, and I'm sorry I dented your door, okay, and or I'm going to stake Rucci all the way up off of turn four and change lanes and turn my turn signal on and make a right turn and drive Vinny Rucci's car into the fence and then affect somebody else. I don't care if you want to go out there and turn your right turn signal on a left turn racetrack and take somebody out. I don't care.
Right.
And go ahead.
I didn't see
it. Just don't affect me.
You know, I seen just that little portion of the video that you seen that you showed me.
And,
not you, Chuck, but the Justin.
Yeah,
but,
Justin.
You know, and obviously there's different angles. Everybody sees things a little bit different. You know, you can see some intentional turning. And, yes, stuff could happen. You know, tires could break, or you could have suspension issues and all that. I don't know what
those
excuses
are,
but, you know, it does happen and can happen. But, again, this is something that I've heard of throughout this season at least, because the points – battle is close between the
it's a bomber seven. Points battle
but again exactly but it's a bomber's points battle so you know it's been building up and I think a lot of things have been allowed.
I can tell you right now that won't happen in some other divisions.
Oh yeah,
I can tell you this.
So they should treat the bomber obviously the
starter has more than one flag if somebody would throw it, and that includes a black one.
Right.
I can tell you this. Back to your question, it's been adding up all year.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the way Kyle's raced. You watch the way everybody's raced. There has been team play, and that's what the biggest thing in the suspension was, and that's why all four of them got suspended. Now, two of those suspensions did get dropped, which I disagree with because
those are track suspensions for what? I mean, this is your opinion, or is this
this is legit.
Down to two.
I got a phone call from somebody involved in it, and he told me exactly what had happened. All four of them got suspended
for
team play in the bomber division. What does team play mean?
I mean,
it means blocking. Like if me and Gary are on the track together, if me and Gary are on the track together, we are teammates. Everybody knows me and him are teammates. We're both JC Motorsports. If he's in the lead, I'm out there and I'm door banging with second place blocking. I'm not saying that's what that was. I have my own opinion that Court did dump him. I don't know who knew about it. I don't know if that was just Vinny got to the outside of court. Court said, oh, well, and thought about it right then and there, or if it was
played. So what was the official call at the end of the night?
All four got DQ'd.
Okay.
Nobody, if you look at the
results, no points.
Michael finished third on the track. He got DQ'd. He's 15th.
So that's what put Adam Simon into first place.
That's what put
first place finish.
Yes.
Okay.
They lost all their points except for qualifying points. Was it
only for the night?
For qualifying points. That's how they are now tied for the points lead.
Okay.
Mike Miller was suspended, and his suspension stood for moving under the red flag, which is in the rule book.
So it has nothing to do with what happened with...
They called it team play, but the phone call Mike got yesterday was Tim called him and said, look, I'm suspending you for moving under the red flag.
Okay.
It's in the rule book.
Valid.
And that's exactly what Mike Miller said.
Yep.
And Mike said, I agree 100% on this. He said, I understand it. He said, I don't... He was like, I'm not arguing it one bit. I agree that Court Connell should have been suspended because no matter what anybody says, you know, and there's been a lot of opinions, and like I said, opinions are opinions. He definitely turned him into the wall. And apparently Dan Fitch, you know, Gerald up in the van, and Tim Richter both felt the same way because
obviously there was suspension.
It was immediately
off
after the race.
How did I?
The
suspension.
I mean, apparently they thought it, and if they're running the track, they make the rules. Don't like it, don't race.
Other than the drivers and the teams that are involved, I think they would be the only ones that would have a different opinion.
So how many races are left in this season for the Bombers?
One.
Is there one more championship night? Yep. And you got the first, second place guys that are having issues with each other are tied.
Yep.
And one more race.
I like it. And that's my point is you should, why don't you outrace me, but don't outwreck me.
Right.
I'm okay with them racing, you know, the final race because technically Vinny didn't have anything to do with that wreck. He got wrecked. He didn't do anything, and neither did Kyle. If Kyle knew about it before the race, I don't know. I'm not making that assumption. Everyone keeps saying, oh, if it was planned, I don't know. No one knows except for those guys involved.
But wasn't Kyle's
– Kyle was in the lead.
I was back looking at Tim, right?
Yeah.
So Kyle was way out there, right?
Yeah. Kyle was in the lead of the race. He had nothing to actually do with the incident.
Yeah.
Court did.
Yeah,
Court was the one who drove him into the wall.
As a team, okay, now who determines that they're an actual team?
You know what? It doesn't make any difference to me. If you have two super stock cars out there and the guy behind me and we got nothing going on and the guy behind me, you're driving my car and you wreck the guy behind you, that I got a problem with you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to just say
why wouldn't one person have another problem with another car? Why, is it because Court owns the four cars?
Well, Ronnie Jacks owns both those four cars, just as Pete Myers owns the 96, the 22, the 21, the 911, and
so
all the same paint.
So I guess that's a tough one because does it go back to registered owners? Maybe those are owners' suspensions that
The driver is responsible for everyone in their crew, no matter what. So that's just the way it's written.
In the rule.
That's
okay.
The way the rules are. If you're the driver, you are responsible for
so
your
that's
car.
Why they incurred the suspension along
well,
with.
There was more that went on afterwards with Tim Richter at the end, which part of that, I believe, at the end of that, with between a couple of other people who really don't know how to keep quiet, they ended up getting involved with Tim Richter at the end, and I believe that had something to do with it because there was some pushing and some shoving going on with the race director there.
And Abby,
you know,
obviously,
so
it doesn't matter who's on that track. There should be no physical.
Well, when people that are working with Rucci get involved with Tim, regardless of what was said, and then all of a sudden after that contact
Rucci,
was made with each other somehow or another, I do believe that Rucci's still responsible for all of those members.
Everybody
still goes back
his,
to affect Rucci.
Sure.
Because Rucci's still the one that is ultimately, even though Rucci didn't have anything to do with what went on the racetrack,
somebody,
other than he got wrecked. But when it happened after the race, I believe that's when Rucci got himself in trouble.
And that makes sense. So
because
now that
Rucci's
makes
responsible
sense.
For his crew, and his crew was the one that was over there getting involved, which seems to be that some of the crew people failed to remember that the driver's responsible. You can go over there and kick this guy's ass down over there,
and
I still get in trouble.
Yes, you are the one responsible.
You might get kicked out, but I still get in trouble too.
Yep, you might get points taken away. You might
get
kicked out yourself. You might not be able to come back to the track.
Exactly. Because
we've all raced long enough. We all have lost our temper. If that's what it was, we've all had that incident
absolutely.
That you just want to lose your shit over.
Yep.
And you have to remember, don't do it in a race car. Because that's been a lot of things, and in we all have families, we all have kids, you know, everything. We don't want, you know, I can tell you when I'm in that race car, I don't want to get wrecked because guess what? I got to work Monday morning. I have to still live.
There's no better feeling than to pull off a racetrack, load it up, and then be able to
what'd that say?
And be able to get it cleaned up, just go race in the next race.
I
agree
100%.
You know, there's no better feeling, and it sucks when stuff happens.
I mean, even
And again, sorry for any callers. We're not taking phone calls. Hopefully you do have access to Facebook or something like that. If not, we email one of us. We'll get you on next week with your comments and all that, so you can
somebody was just commenting here, and I couldn't read who it was because I had my glasses on. Sure. I should have brought my glasses in because I knew that was going to get a lot of people writing
Justin
up.
Justin has his on, so he can read it for you.
Yeah. Well, here, he can actually read that out loud because, they said somebody that Rucci didn't deserve it. No, Rucci didn't deserve what he got on the racetrack. Nobody does. Who does?
Absolutely. But again, this is going back to responsibility.
He does deserve for whatever happened with the racetrack.
Right. So this goes back. Victor. So this goes beyond what's going on the track. This is what happens as a driver. You're responsible for crew. Mm-hmm. Anybody, mm-hmm. crew, or anybody that's in the pit mm-hmm. under your name.
When you sign as a driver, yep. you're responsible whether you bring one person in or 100 people in. You're responsible for all of them.
And that's what this is going into, yep. is
that's
the responsibility of the driver.
That's exactly it. You know,
he
that's
should
where
take control.
And I think that's where Rucci got himself in trouble,
right.
was because he didn't go over there and take the people who were involved in there and kick their ass away from Tim Richter and run their ass off because he forgets he's responsible for all them people. You know, he needed to go over there and step on somebody's chest and get the away from Tim Richter. Yeah. I got this. This is my problem, not your problem. And regardless of whether Tim Richter was involved with somebody else's kid or not somebody else's kid, Rucci's still responsible for that crew.
Sure. Justin.
I know everybody's trying to call in. I'm getting a lot of, why are we not accepting phone calls? Like he just said, email us.
Yeah, just send us.
Yeah, on wheels now. Or message me on Facebook, and I will get you in contact with Gary, and you can get on the show next week, or Michael, or anybody.
We'll carry this through to next week.
I know Sam Jax
will be here.
Sam Jax is asking, you know, why are we not taking phone calls? I know he wants to call in because he's involved in it, too, so next weekend.
Yes, Sam, absolutely. We'll get you set. Well, I don't know if you want to. Get with Gary, send your comment to Gary@onwheelsnow.com, and we'll go through them all, and we'll make sure everybody's question is touched on.
Court Connell's on here right now, and he just asked,
absolutely.
Have you ever seen me wreck anybody in 4 years?
Have you ever seen me wreck anybody in 4 years? No, you haven't.
Exactly.
Just because
we haven't doesn't mean
you don't.
Defending anybody in court's defense, you got to look at a person's track record also in case maybe something is not seen. I'm not protecting anybody because a person's a record does stand for something.
We will continue this next week to give them guys an opportunity to either
court,
come on,
Kyle,
or come
all
in.
All you guys, yes,
all
absolutely.
I'll
put a ring up.
Hey.
Actually, meet us down at the
LVMS.
Couture's gym down there. He's got
I'll
bring you with
you. You know what? I'm not one-sided. We're going to give these guys an opportunity to talk. We're not going to
just
keep it to one.
I knew this was
going to
happen. That's why I don't want to do phone calls.
No.
We're going to get flooded, and it's going to take away too much from one to the other.
No, you can have an all-call-in show.
And that's what we'll do next week. We'll make sure that everybody gets a chance.
You know what?
Is
Court still on there?
Yes, Court's asked me to read the rest, and exactly what he says.
Hold on. Court, if he wants to come on next week, we'll have him in studio. There you go.
Court, if you want to come on. Get a hold of me or Gary Wyatt on Facebook, and we will get you in live
on
the show.
And we'll get your side of it.
Vice versa on both sides.
That goes for Vinny Rucci, Mike Miller, and
Kyle
Jack.
All of them. We're not going to just have one side. Let's get them both.
Mike Miller says he will be in here next Tuesday if you want him.
One at a time there. Hold on.
Go ahead and get a hold of Gary. You guys already know how, and then we'll get it arranged.
Listen, I don't care what car you're driving. They have, in some cars, a center pedal. And some cars have a left pedal. Those pedals do the same thing, and the opposite thing of a throttle pedal does.
And
if you're blowing a tire, you're hooked on somebody, you just don't leave your right foot in the pedal and just keep driving the car forward.
And
you get on the brake pedal.
In court, back to Court's comment, no, I've never seen him wreck anybody or intentionally wreck them. Yes, that wreck looked intentional. Everybody I've talked to, everybody that's seen the video, I see all the comments, I see it all.
Without knowing what happened, what I've seen, there's a possibility, there's a reasonable possibility that maybe there could have been an issue, but again, I only seen it for 60 seconds. or less, and only once. So I can't say.
And that's the thing. We've had Kyle on the show. We've had Mike on the show. We've had Vinny on the show. They're all level-headed guys. But when you're on that racetrack, you do stupid shit.
Well, and
if it's on purpose or not.
Sometimes when we're in that driver's seat, our recollection is a little different also from somebody else's view from the outside. I've many times said, well, I thought I did this. And then you look at the video like,
this goes back
way off of what I thought I was doing.
This goes back to my wreck. Everyone had their own opinion of that wreck. I know what I did inside the car. I know where I fucked up by locking up the brake and staying in the brake instead of releasing and letting the car turn.
Well, and I was going to get to that because almost, a situation like this. You think you were coming in, from my point of view, you had plenty of time coming out of turn one and two all the way into the wreck, but it happens fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the same thing with court.
And that's just like JJ
I don't know.
Exactly. That's what JJ said. JJ was like, no one knows unless you were in that car.
Sure.
And I know I fucked up, and I know I should have seen it quicker. I know I shouldn't have locked at the brakes. I should have swerved away.
And yes, experience has something to do with it. You have a lot of experience. Like, I might react different than you because you have a different experience than I do.
So where's this video found?
If somebody wants to see this video, is it floating around, or is it going to be found somewhere?
It's already, who has it?
Okay.
I know. I shared it.
Who took this video? Do you know?
Two people did. I know. Okay. It's on Vinny
Rucci. Those are two different angles?
Vinny Rucci's Facebook page is the one you saw.
Okay.
Of just the wreck.
Okay.
Tammy Sargent has the whole wreck, or the whole race.
And it has that wreck from a different angle?
She is exactly following Court Carmel and Kyle Jackson the whole race. That's who she was cheering for.
Okay.
So that's out there. Tammy Sargent's on Facebook page. It's a public thing.
So
I know I've shared it. So if you're on my Facebook, go look at it.
By next Tuesday, we'll all kind of take a look at it and see.
Well, this thing started in the right dead center of 3 and 4.
Yeah. Okay.
And it didn't end.
It started down the back stretch during the middle of the pass, and you see them come together.
Yeah, but then they get apart. And then they come back together in the middle of 3 and 4, and it doesn't end until the 9-11 car's in the fence. Now, that makes no sense to me whatsoever, because if I'm in my superstock car and I make contact with a guy in the middle of 3 and 4 and I'm running up the fence, you can be rest assured I am not in the wide open throttle, because I don't want to wreck him and I don't want him wrecking me.
I'm going to be on the middle pedal. And of course, this is what you guys said. One of the excuses is that they were locked together and there was an issue with the tire.
Hold on, guys. Just so you know, I've said we'll have the other side on it.
Okay.
We'll have whoever wants to come on.
Okay.
But just so everybody knows, on October 9th, that day is reserved for Jimmy Parker Jr. We're going to have the Super Late Model Champion in for that day. So I don't want to end this.
Two weeks.
Can
you bring
him
up to Pahrump and just throw him in the car?
Just so you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm stopping this.
Just leave the studio door open.
Yeah,
go out that door.
Right.
Get your opinion, go out that door.
You get 60 seconds. That's it.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay,
and
so October 9th, keep that in mind. Jimmy Parker Jr. will be in here, so we'll work around
that. We'll stop all of this. But
we want to make sure Jimmy Parker gets
in. Next week, Sam Jacks has already said he's coming on.
Okay.
And Court Carmel just said it on here. He will come in and dissect that video for everyone to see.
That sounds good. And I will do, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see any of it. I didn't know it was an incident.
And we're going to have the Jackson, I'm sorry, Sam Jackson said he'll come on next week. And then we're going to have Jimmy Parker Jr. on the 9th. And if the Rucci's want to come on the 16th, we're more than happy to have them.
And we may, when Sam's on too, we'll probably take phone calls.
Look, my frustration with the whole thing and the reason I wanted to come tonight was because I want these other racers out there to remember that other people are affected by what you're doing.
Absolutely.
100%. 100%.
Hey, I just want to say one thing out real loud, that this is the first time that people have been asking for a longer show.
Right.
I do want to say, and I mentioned it a little earlier, congratulations to Adam Simon taking up the win. Despite everything else that happened, he has been getting faster. He has been racing 10 times better than he has before. And he's definitely working his ass off on that car.
That's because he's in a Ford and doing better.
And I know him.
We got a whole other show on that one. Hey, thanks, Chuck, for coming in. You know, appreciate it. And you know what? Very valid point. I'm glad you came in to bring up that point. Is there's other
racers?
Yeah, even though you have rivalry.
No, you guys can cheer each other up.
Keep it safe.
But remember, it affects somebody else.
Absolutely, you know.
I agree 100%.
Clear your head a little
100%.
Bit.
Ask for that you know, that separate four-car race.
Right. There you go. There
I
want to
see it. I want to see it.
Okay, thank you.
Make the suspension just to bring those four cars out on the track at once.
That's right.
Yep. We'll get to everybody, and we'll keep you posted. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Rob, for being here. Justin, coming in again. Chuck, thanks for coming in and bringing that up.
And again, you can email me at gary@onwheelsnow.com.
That's exactly it.
Or Facebook.
Yep. Facebook, whatever.
Either way, we'll get to it. Make sure we put everybody's view play and get to the bottom of it. So, thanks again. We'll see you next Tuesday at onworldsnow.com. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for listening.